So we're off. We're off and running. Thank you for your response to our next step. And we're trusting the Lord for what's ahead for us. So this morning we're going to turn to the scriptures and focus our attention on God and his character. And we have a couple weeks in between the conclusion of 2 Corinthians and our Christmas season that we're going to spend some time in some special passages. And this morning we're going to speak together about the faithfulness of God, that he is a faithful and true God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, God is faithful, through whom you are called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, to me. Yes? And great is his faithfulness, whether or not you perceive it in your personal life. God is faithful. There aren't many things in our world that are consistent or faithful. There are inconsistencies all over our life experience. Where could we begin? The stock market? Your health? Our relationships? Our restaurants that we choose? I mean, the inconsistencies of our sporting teams ought to be enough to reinforce to us that there is not much that is steady and steadfast. My 16-year-old house is what I was thinking about. Yesterday I repaired 2 lights, 2 doors, and 3 toilets. And if I have to work on toilets, there's a problem. Nothing is consistent, but God is faithful. He is unchanging. He never fails to act according to who he is. His character is perfect, and all his intentions and actions and ends are in keeping with his character. He does all that accords to who he is. We hold together, if only by faith today, all the ways in which God is revealed in the scriptures. He is transcendent and he is imminent. He is merciful and he is just. He is gracious and he is fierce in wrath. He is a loving father and he is a perfect judge. And we get into trouble if we overemphasize one dimension of his character to the neglect of another. God is love. Yes? God is love. But emphasize his love to the exclusion of his justice or his wrath against sin, and you will distort your understanding of God's infinite nature. His compassion and his grace do not eliminate nor diminish his righteousness and his holiness. He always speaks and acts from a foundation of faithfulness to his unified being, the God of all perfections. His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, was also faithful and is also faithful. He is the faithful and true witness of all that God is. He was faithful to fulfill all that the Father gave him to do in his life, faithful to the end, faithful in the garden, faithful before Pontius Pilate and the high priests. He is repeatedly called in the book of Revelation, faithful and true. His perfections are glorious and praiseworthy, and among them his faithfulness to himself and to his word and to his Father and to the will of his Father and to the work of his Father all create for us a great river of refreshment to know that we turn to a God who is unchanging and always true and always faithful. It is my prayer today that a reflection in this service on the faithfulness of God will strengthen your faith and increase our gratitude that the God we serve is the unchanging God. This comes into sharp focus for us when we think about ourselves. We become unfaithful. in the slightest whiff of temptation or impulse or desire or frustration or anger or selfishness, it's so easy for us to lose our way. But God is never subject to these kinds of imperfections or failures. He's not bipolar. He's not emotionally unstable in any way. As much as we live in a world of inconsistencies and see those in ourselves, so much to our shame and so frequently, God is not like us. He's faithful. And our security as his people rests upon the promise of his track record of faithfulness, of his assurance of faithfulness, of his unchanging nature. We have peace in the assurance that God always keeps his promises and always fulfills his will, and he will bring us all the way to himself throughout all of this inconsistency and all of this uncertainty that our life holds. A.W. Tozer said, "The tempted, the anxious, the fearful, and the discouraged may all find new hope and good cheer in the knowledge that our Heavenly Father is faithful. He will ever be true to his pledged word, and the hard-pressed sons of the covenant may be sure that he will never remove his loving kindness from them, nor suffer his faithfulness to fail." I say amen to that. God is faithful, through whom you are called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He will never fail to do what he has promised. And what he has promised, he will surely fulfill. And that includes taking us all the way through the inconsistencies of our life into his presence for all of eternity. Here's another verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24 on the screen now. Let's read this together. "Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass." Faithful is he who calls you, he will bring it to pass. Now, of course, that begs the question, what in particular will he bring to pass? What is it that he will fulfill and accomplish and bring to pass in his faithfulness? Well, aside from all that he promised, in particular in this context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it is verse 23, which we'll now see. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your soul and spirit and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's read the last line together again. "Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass." Excuse me. God will do that. He will lead us into his presence for all of eternity, complete not of our own merits, but on the work of his Son and his transforming work in our life. May God be praised for his unchanging faithfulness. In life, God's faithfulness is the anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the sea billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. God's faithfulness, illustrated throughout the pages of Scripture, help us today to leap toward him in faith and say, "All right, all who have preceded me in your word have found you to be unchangingly faithful." And so it might help us today to get a glimpse. The New Testament tells us that these things in the Old Testament are written for our instruction, that through them we might have perseverance and hope. So I want you to take your Bible and to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Genesis, very first book of the Bible, and let's just drop in on Abraham and Sarah and see the faithfulness of God, his unchanging character and his unchanging commitment to keep his word, even though all around them, Abraham and Sarah might have led them to question whether God would keep his word. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. Abraham has been called. He's out in the oaks of Mamre, and the Lord appeared to him, Genesis 18, by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. And when he lifted up his eyes, he looked, and behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran to them and bowed down and said, "If I found favor in your sight, do not pass your servant by." And then he begins to prepare for them what hospitality would require, something to eat, something to be refreshed, even the killing of a small calf for the nourishment of these three visitors. Verse 9 says, "And they said to him, 'Where's your wife Sarah?' He said, 'There, in the tent.' And he said, 'I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah your wife will have a son.' And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him, and Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I have become old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also?' And the Lord said to Abram, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I indeed bear a child when I am old? Is anything," here's your underlining, "is anything too difficult for the Lord?" At the appointed time, did you underline that? At the appointed time, I will return to you. At this time next year. And Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, "I didn't laugh," for she was afraid. I can understand that. She was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Now here is God, the Lord pre-incarnate, speaking to Abram and to Sarah. And to Abraham and Sarah, he says, this time next year at the appointed time, you're going to bear a son. Now let's turn to chapter 21. And there we find, after some intervening events, that the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said. Again, if you're underlining, you're connecting in your mind this opening phrase from verse 1 of 21 to chapter 18 that we just read. And the Lord did for Sarah, again, if you're underlining, as he promised. And Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abram in his old age, and if you're underlining, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah had born to him, Isaac. And then Abraham circumcised his son when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me," not at me, "with me." And she said, "Who would have said to Abraham and Sarah that they would nurse children? I have borne him a son in his old age." God is faithful to his word, right? Now, Abraham has one more test. It's worth a quick look in chapter 22, just the next chapter. It came about after these things that God tested Abraham. And he called to Abraham and said, "Abraham, here I am." Abraham said, "Take your own son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, prompt response. And he saddled his donkey and took the young men with him and Isaac his son. And off they went. And the third day he raised his eyes and saw a place at the distance. He told his other two young men, "You stay here with the donkey and I and the lad will go on." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son and took his hand the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. And verse 7 says, "Isaac said to Abraham his father, 'Father, here I am, my son. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the offering?' 'God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' So the two walked together. And when they came to the place which God had told them, Abraham built the altar and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' He said, 'Here I am.' He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing against him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for the burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, these quick glimpses into the history of those who have come before us in faith, of trusting in the Lord, are given to us for our instruction to understand without question that faithful is He who calls you, and He will bring it to pass. And I want our hearts to grow in faith and to know with great uncertainty that God always keeps His word. But that said, I could also say to you that He is not our servant to do all that we demand. Right? And we are not His timekeeper that He would do everything as obliged to our schedule. He is the Lord, and He is God, and He is faithful. And there are times when the uncertainties and the disappointments of life can obscure a clear picture of His plan and His will, and even may threaten our confidence in His faithfulness. And so it is a morning like this in which we turn to the Scriptures, in which I hope to bring us all back with great confidence that the Lord, He is God, and He is faithful. And you do not need to worry about whether or not the Lord will keep His word to you. Now, there are a number of experiences in our life that would take us immediately to, well, when do I need to know with clarity that God is faithful to me? I have three. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, back to the New Testament. And let me lead us to understand that God is faithful, first of all, in our suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4. When we suffer, we may turn with great confidence to a Lord who is with us and will not change, even though we suffer harm or loss or disappointment or persecution, even when we are doing all that is right. 1 Peter 4, verse 19. Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. This was Peter's admonition to those who are being spread abroad in the diaspora because of the persecution of the first century. And to them it was written, entrust your soul to a faithful Creator, that you may be well in the will of God in the midst of your suffering experience. But He is the Creator, the one who made you, the one who created the world. And your heart may trust Him even in the midst of suffering, even if it is that you're doing the will of God and being crushed. Now, this is a hard place to be. But I want to remind you that around the world today, in fact, in many churches today, churches are recognizing prayers for the persecuted church. As a reminder, in our ease of worship in Boulder, Colorado, that we are not oblivious that in China, in places remote, in Sudan, In many places around the world, there is great oppression and persecution and suffering of those who are living for Christ and proclaiming His name and losing their lives. And we lament what? You know it, right? We have it well. We suffer, but we may suffer in the will of God, and if so, we may entrust our soul to a faithful Creator, that He created us in His image, that He's restoring us through Christ, and He's bringing us to heaven, and there is no suffering that can separate us from the love of God. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall persecution? What's the answer? No. No. So we may be in the will of God and experience suffering, but that does not threaten a faithful God. And it shouldn't threaten our faith to trust Him in the midst of those. I think both Sarah and Abraham call to us from the past to say, God is faithful. If not in your timetable, He is faithful. Trust Him. A God who always keeps His word. Secondly, He is faithful in our temptations. In our temptations, which also have a tendency to threaten our confidence in God, or at least potentially they can. So here's a verse from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that we should read out loud together, and you may turn there if you'd like, but 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Ready? No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. I believe this. My weaknesses in temptation sometimes threaten me to believe this, but I believe it. God is faithful. And even in the midst of temptation and every solicitation to sin, God is faithful to provide a way of escape. Now, just a thought. The way of escape is the pathway to move away from a solicitation to evil. And there is the promise of God that He will provide for us the pathway to create space between the solicitation and your holiness, to move away from that which is enticing and alluring, that God is faithful. And I have this in my mind when I'm tempted, and it comes to me sometimes and has become, because over the years it is now in my spiritual reservoir, that it comes to my mind when I'm solicited to do evil. That God is faithful and He will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I am able to overcome by His grace. I don't always overcome. I'm not always faithful, but God is. God is faithful. We could look at James chapter 1 and reinforce in the opening verses of James chapter 1 that God cannot be tempted, and neither does He tempt anyone with evil. He will never solicit us to evil because He's faithful to His character. He is true to who He is, that He's holy and just and right. And He will lead us in this way too. He is faithful to lead us through temptation. Now, a word of hope to us. Because every one of us would be here and say, but if God is faithful to provide a way of escape, why do I keep sinning? It's because you're not faithful. But God is. But here's another verse for you. John chapter 1, verse 9. John 1, 9. We hear the faithfulness of God again. If we confess our sins, what's the next phrase? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. And He may do that because He's faithful to what He has done to atone for sin and to pay for sins that He pardoned us from in the work of His Son. God is faithful. Even if you fail and I fail. But in temptation, He meets us. And we should look for the way of escape. And we should trust him that he would lead us increasingly away from sin and to himself, that we may be able to endure it with the knowledge that we are all on that pathway, because every temptation is common to all of us. Now last, let me close by a great verse from Lamentations. If God helps us in our suffering and he helps us in our temptation, then here's the banner that hangs over all of our life, that he helps us in every circumstance of our life. That his loving kindnesses never cease. They are new every morning. His compassions never fail. Great is your faithfulness. That is to say that God is faithful in the everydayness of your life, in the common experiences that you're in. That in every circumstance in which you find yourself, you may know that you will never turn to God and find him in a bad mood. You'll never find him as you come to him in the everyday circumstance of your life and find him not home or out of the office. He'll be near to the brokenhearted and to the helper, to those who are in pain. And there are never designated periods where he doesn't take calls. He always feels toward us and toward the lost and toward the sick and toward the poor and toward the oppressed, just what he has felt since the beginning, when he designed a plan to send his son into the world to communicate his love, because he longs to heal and to help and to save those who are crushed in spirit. His mercies are new every morning. He never loses focus. He never is without attention to us. He never is off his purpose or without his enthusiasm to keep his will. Ever he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me, I'll be near to the brokenhearted. He is always faithful. Again, he is not a servant to do our will, but to do his own in his own time and his timetable. So how do we respond? Well, let me prepare you for Thanksgiving this week. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, because the Lord favors those who fear him and those who wait on his loving kindness. I mean, I hope our hearts just leap toward the Lord in thanksgiving that he is always the same and always faithful. And then it comes to my mind that though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous men stumble badly, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength and mount up with wings like eagles. This is a great time for us. With the uncertainty of our world and the uncertainty of our own life, the uncertainty of our health and our future, to know that God's faithfulness is certain. Whether it's in suffering or temptation or sickness or financial instability or uncertainty, in the everydayness of life, his mercies are new every morning. Now his faithfulness, then I pray, will bolster our faithfulness to believe, even as Sarah and Abraham were led eventually to believe and trust in the Lord. What are the uncertain odds of your life? What are the things that are uncertain as you look down the week and the end of the year and the future for you? I want to encourage you that God is faithful. Yes? And so, thank him. And for some of us, this is why we must wait on the Lord. We wait on him. And our faith grows as we wait on him. Because we want him to respond now. And most of the time, it's not our time schedule. But God is not slow concerning his promises. I believe that. I encourage you to believe that and to give him thanks. Let's pray together. Lord, we seek to give you thanks. We say to you, great is your faithfulness. You are without variance, no shadow of turning in you. And we cling to this. In all of the uncertainty of our own lives, and the inconsistencies of our own life and affections and conduct, we're so grateful that you are faithful. And I pray that you will strengthen our faith to believe that he who calls us is faithful and will bring to pass an eternal destiny of perfection and confirmation of the work of Jesus in our life. And until then, Lord, our hearts will go on singing, "Great is your faithfulness." And our hearts will thank you for every blessing that comes down from a Father above who gives good and perfect gifts in his own time and for his own purposes, which cannot be thwarted. And I pray, God, that our hearts will trust in you without wavering. And so to you be glory, great and faithful God, you who are the faithful and true witness, Jesus Christ our Lord, to you be praise. Amen.